ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्याज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Today we're continuing our reading of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, and we're in the seventh chapter, taking up at text number 14. Daiva hiyeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite. Everyone please say. Daivi. Repeat. Transcendental. He. Certainly. Esha. This. Gunamayi. Consisting of the three modes of material nature. Mama. My. Maya. Energy. Duratyaya. Very difficult to overcome. Mam. Unto me. Eva. Certainly. Ye, those who prapadyante, surrender, mayam, etam, this illusory energy, taranti, overcome, te, they. Translation, this divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Let's say it together. This divine energy of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has innumerable energies, and all these energies are divine. Although the living entities are part of His energies and are therefore divine, due to contact with material energy, their original spiritual power is covered. Being thus covered by material energy, one cannot possibly overcome its influence. As previously stated, both the material and spiritual natures, being emanations from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are eternal. The living entities belong to the eternal superior nature of the Lord, but due to contamination by the inferior nature, matter, their illusion is also eternal. The conditioned soul is therefore called Nityabaddha, or eternally conditioned. No one can trace out the history of his becoming conditioned at a certain date in material history. Consequently, his release from the clutches of material nature is very difficult, even though that material nature is an inferior energy, because material energy is ultimately conducted by the Supreme Will, which the living entity cannot overcome. Inferior material nature is defined herein as divine nature due to its divine connection and movement by the divine will. Being conducted by divine will, material nature, although inferior, acts so wonderfully in the construction and destruction of the cosmic manifestation. The Vedas confirm this as follows. Mayam tu prakritim vidyan, Mayinam tu Maheshwaram. Abhay, what is the verse? Repeat it. No, I said Abhay. You're all not named Abhay. Give him the microphone.
Mayam tu Prakatrim Vidyan Mayavinam tu Maheshwaram.
Good. Although Maya, illusion, is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the Supreme Magician, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. So what did that just mean that you repeated, that you read up there? And could somebody please close that door? Because Kumbh Mela is starting out there, apparently.
I can't see the top. Although Maya illusion is false or temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician, personality of Godhead, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller.
So what does that mean to you in your life? How does that affect your life?
That Maya is the false, the temporary things, and spiritual is technically... what's it called? Permanent. And so that if we want temporary things, technically we'll all lose them. So if we go for permanent stuff, they'll all stay. They'll like stick together.
Good Siddhanta. Siddhanta Bhaya Bhai. Thank you very much. What about the magician part? Did that catch your attention at all? See, in the translation it says, although Maya illusion is false and temporary, the background of Maya is the supreme magician.
Magician, it like does a bunch of tricks.
Yeah.
So like they always have something behind the trick. So it's not the real thing. It's always something unreal.
So the material nature is quite magical, isn't it? There's behind magic, there's a magician. So Krishna's the supreme magician, who is Maheshwara, the supreme controller. Maha Ishvara, the big controller. Another meaning of guna is rope. It is understood that the conditioned soul is tightly tied by the ropes of illusion. A man bound by the hands and feet cannot free himself. He must be helped by a person who is unbound. Because the bound cannot help the bound, the rescuer must be liberated. Therefore, only Lord Krishna or his bona fide representative, the spiritual master, can release the conditioned soul. Without such superior help, one cannot be freed from the bondage of material nature. Devotional service or Krishna consciousness can help one gain such release. Krishna, being the Lord of the illusory energy, can order this insurmountable energy to release the conditioned soul. He orders this release out of his causeless mercy on the surrendered soul and out of his personal affection for the living entity, paternal affection, thank you, out of his paternal affection for the living entity who is originally a beloved son of the Lord. Therefore, surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord is the only means to get free from the clutches of the stringent material nature. The words mam eva are also significant. Mam means under Krishna, Vishnu only, and not Brahma or Shiva. Although Brahma and Shiva are greatly elevated and are almost on the level of Vishnu, it is not possible for such incarnations of rajogun, passion, and tamogun, ignorance, to release the conditioned soul from the clutches of Maya. In other words, both Brahma and Shiva are also under the influence of Maya. Only Vishnu is the master of Maya. Therefore, he alone can give release to the conditioned soul. The Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 3.8, confirm this in the phrase, Tam eva viditva, or freedom is possible only by understanding Krishna. Shweka, could you read that verse again?
Only possible by understanding Krishna.
Sanskrit and English.
Tam eva viditva, or freedom is only possible by understanding Krishna.
What does that mean?
It means that freedom from the material world is only possible if you understand Krishna and understand that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Who can give another verse that says the same thing that's in the Bhagavad Gita? Mm, I'm thinking of a verse in the fourth chapter. Which verse am I thinking of? That if you understand Krishna in truth, then you don't go back to God. Then you can go back to Godhead. Who knows the verse? You know it.
Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha tyaktva deham punar janma mameti sorjuna.
Naiti mameti sorjuna.
So Krishna is saying that who knows my birth and activities does not upon death comes back into this material world and he overcomes the material nature.
Very good. Do you know that verse, Vrinda? Want to say anything about it?
Yeah, it just means that like once you surrender unto Krishna, then only you'll be able to get free from the modes of material nature. And
he says in the verse, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata. If you understand me in truth, then you know, you're not obligated to take birth again in the material world. This understanding of Krishna. Where in the Bhagavad Gita does Krishna say, tell how one can know everything about him? What's the process? They would know everything about him. What? Where in the Bhagavad Gita, which verse substantiates the theory that, or gives the process to know everything about Krishna? If you do this, then you'll know everything about Krishna in truth.
15.19.
Can you substantiate that?
Yo mam evam asam mudo janati purushottama so sarbit bhajanti mam sarubhavin varta.
Translation.
Those who know that that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they knows everything.
Okay, that says the same thing. But I'm asking which verse says how to know Krishna fully in truth. Sundar Nanda is coming in. Okay. He'll need a microphone.
Text 7.1, Prabhu.
Correct. Go ahead.
I'm not remembering the Sanskrit, but I know it ends with Tatshruno. I mean, Krishna says, hear, and by the process of hearing about his glories and about how he is the source of everything, then one can come to know about him without being a friend and without being envious.
7.1. Okay, we'll say it together. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yogam Yunjan Madashrayaha Asam shayam samagramam yatagyasasti tachtrinu. Translation is, together, the Supreme Personality of God had said, now hear, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full conscious of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Purport. In the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the nature of Krishna consciousness is fully described. Krishna is full in all opulences, and how he manifests such opulence is described herein. Also, four kinds of fortunate people who become attached to Krishna and four kinds of unfortunate people who never take to Krishna are described in this chapter. In the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit, soul capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yogas. At the end of the sixth chapter, it has been clearly stated that the steady concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yoga. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. Impersonal Brahma-jyoti, or localized Paramatma, realization is not perfect knowledge of the absolute truth because it is partial. Full and scientific knowledge is Krishna, and everything is revealed to the person in Krishna consciousness. In complete Krishna consciousness, one knows that Krishna is ultimate knowledge beyond any doubts. different types of yoga are only stepping stones on the path of Krishna consciousness. One who takes directly to Krishna consciousness automatically knows about Brahma Jyotir and Paramatma in full. By practice of Krishna consciousness yoga, one can know everything in full, namely the absolute truth, the living entities, the material nature, and their manifestations with paraphernalia. One should therefore begin yoga practice as directed in the last verse of the sixth chapter. Concentration of the mind upon Krishna, the Supreme, is made possible by prescribed devotional service in 9 different forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. I have a question for you all. Which is the first and most important aspect of the 9 processes of devotional service? Yes, sir. Shravanam? Does everyone agree?
Yes.
Hari Bol. It's the first and most important. The Lord therefore says to Arjuna, touch Trinu. Everyone say, touch Trinu.
Touch Trinu.
Or hear from me. No one can be a greater authority than Krishna, and therefore, by hearing from him, one receives the greatest opportunity to become a perfectly Krishna-conscious person. One has therefore to learn from Krishna directly or from a pure devotee of Krishna, and not from a neophyte upstart, look up upstart, puffed up with academic education. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, this process of understanding Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is described in the second chapter of the first canto as follows. Together, Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Rityantaksto Hyabhadrani Vitunoti Suhritsatam Nashta Praesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Tata Rajastamo Bhava Kamaloba dayashchaye chaitaiter anavidham stitam satve prasidati evam prasanna manaso bhagavad bhakti yogataha bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate vidyate hridaya grantish chijante sarva samshayaha shyante chasya karmani Trishta Eva Manishvade. To hear about Krishna from Vedic literatures or to hear from him directly through the Bhagavad Gita is itself righteous activity. What is the phrase that says that in the verses we just chanted? That says that to hear from Krishna from the Vedic literatures is righteous activity in and of itself. Punya Shravana Kirtana. This is useful information. If you want to develop this bhakti punya, just by lending your ears to hearing about Krishna consciousness, you develop it naturally just by hearing. Punya Shravana Kirtana. You can get this punya. Okay. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as a best wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, Mukharavinda liked that. I'm going to read it again. And for one who hears about Krishna, Lord Krishna, who is dwelling in everyone's heart, acts as a best wishing friend and purifies the devotee who constantly engages in hearing of him. In this way, a devotee naturally develops his dormant transcendental knowledge. As he hears more about Krishna from the Bhagavatam and from the devotees, he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus material lusts and avarice are diminished. So it's especially in this sequence talked about how the process of hearing purifies the heart, how Krishna helps purify the heart as one hears. And then it specifically mentions how one becomes freed from the lower modes of nature, which are rajas and tamas. Who can say what the nature of rajas is? Who can say anything about rajas? What its symptoms are, what its nature is? Priya Kishori.
So a person in the mode of passion may be overly ambitious and overly attached and detached from certain things. Reminds me of the speech you just gave where you mentioned boga and tyaga, living on the extremes of situations and being very attached to a certain result and trying to achieve that by all and any means possible.
Thank you very much. What other symptoms can you say about rajas? Yes, 1, 2, 3.
It's nectar in the beginning and poison in the end.
Okay, yes. That's relatable.
So Krishna says in the 14th chapter that the mode of passion is characterized by desire and intense endeavor.
Desire and intense endeavor. Unlimited longings and desires. Unlimited. They just keep coming again and again, no matter how fast you try to fulfill them, there's more of them, right? And you were going to say?
Maharaj, the mind is very restless and jumps from topic to topic.
Mm-hmm. In Rajas.
Right.
Yes. Okay, and what about tamas? What are the symptoms of the mode of ignorance? Brinda?
People are lazy and always wanting to sleep and intoxicated.
Yeah. Yes, Abhay? Oh, were you going to say? Okay, go ahead, Abhay.
It's kind of impossible for them to understand the self because they always indulge in other stuff.
Yeah, from the position, you're absolutely right. From the position of tamas, one cannot understand the truth at all, because one's completely covered. Prabhu?
Tamas, Hare Krishna Mahaprabhu. Tamas is darkness, ignorance. The Lord is present right in everywhere, and yet it ignores the presence of the Lord.
Can't see because of tamas.
Tamas.
Okay.
So it's a stringent cloud of darkness in the intellect, as if charcoal has been taken and deposited on the intellect. So that extent it is dark.
Charcoal.
And keeps postponing.
Procrastination.
Procrastination.
That's a symptom of ignorance
Hare
also.
Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Oh, very good. Thank you. Yes, Babaji? Okay, your mind becomes the enemy and not a friend.
And when a person in tamas wants something and he doesn't get it, he gets very cranky and...
Cranky. Okay. So, doga chanti tamasaha. Yeah. Urvam gachati sattvasta madhyam tishtanti rajasa ado jaganya guna vrittista adoka chanti tamasa. So this mode of ignorance is described as the abominable mode of ignorance. It's very degrading. And so tamas and rajas, these are the two lower modes, and these verses are saying that by hearing about Krishna from Krishna himself or from Krishna's devotees or from the book Bhagavata, then one actually rises above these. Actually, their influence is diminished in one's life. So we were talking about this just an hour ago at one of the corporate centers here in Silicon Valley and about how one can elevate oneself in spiritual consciousness. And... And that somebody brought up the point. First, I brought up the point, and somebody took it a step further, just about how one can be free to do many things or become free from influences of things. Oftentimes, we think of freedom as the freedom to do something, but freedom from the influences. And one of the people who was joining us online. What's his name? Greg. Greg. he's a regular participant, brought up the fact that being free from compulsion, one may be compelled to do certain things. So in the Gita, Krishna talks about this, that by following the regulative principles of freedom. So one of the regulative principles is that one must regularly hear about Krishna. And one comes to the position of actually being situated above these two lower modes, no longer being affected by them. Bali, Mardan Prabhu?
Actually, the same verse appeared to my mind that Om Ashatoma Sadgamo Tamashoma Jyotirgamo Mrityurma Mritagama Om Shantihi Shantihi Shantihi. So this had been likely the second word, second verse is Tamashoma Jyotirgama. The Upanishads always direct that we are already in the darkness, this world. So we have to Tamashoma Jyotirgama. So always go enlighten yourself by some means of understanding.
Come towards the light. Don't stay in the darkness. Very good. Nice. Encouraged. By development of devotional service, one becomes freed from the modes of passion and ignorance, and thus material lusts and avarice are diminished. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness, becomes enlivened by devotional service, and understands the science of God perfectly. So what are the three things that happen? I just read, okay, Advait, tell us the three. And you know it doesn't count unless you're in a microphone, right? Okay.
So he remains steady in his position of pure goodness. He becomes enlivened by devotional service, and he understands the science of God perfectly.
Okay. When these impurities are wiped away, the candidate remains steady in his position of pure goodness. Then becomes enlivened by devotional service, and he understands the science of God perfectly. This all happens by the hearing process. This bhakti yoga severs the hard knot of material affection and enables one to come at once to the stage of asamshayam samagram, understanding the supreme absolute truth, personality of Godhead. What is the hard knot of material affection? What does that mean? The hard knot of material affection. Yes.
So I'm remembering this verse from the fifth canto of Bhagavatam. I don't know how it starts, but it talks about the hridaya granthi, or the hard knot in the heart.
Pumshastriya
mituni bhava metam.
Tayumurtu hridaya granthamahu. Ato kriyakshatras taptavatar.
Janasya moho yamahamameti. So when one is entangled in this material world, one thinks in terms of what is I and what is mine. And this has caused this hard knot within one's heart. So that's the verse that I remembered when I was reading.
Yeah, and the verse starts off by saying, Pumsa Sriya Maitina Bhava Maitam. There's an attraction between male and female. And when the male and female come together, then they become inextricably connected through affection in the heart. And then they have to develop a field so they can grow stuff and feed the family and so on, make their livelihood. And then it becomes a whole enterprise. There's pets and relatives and bills to pay and all kinds of things. And there's this affection in the heart, especially it's described as a hard knot. So this is especially hard to give up. Generally, people, when they leave the world, they're thinking about this affection for their family members. Oftentimes, people, their last wishes dwell within their family members. Will little Billy be able to graduate college? And
you know, who's going to get the money, and make sure you take care of, you know, little Frank. You know, he's always been so helpless. You got to take care of him. And what about Snowball the cat? You know, Snowball, I don't know where she is right now. And so there's this bhava, there's this strong feeling of affection for all these things. So through the Bhagavatam, hearing about Krishna, what is a very hard knot, very hard to overcome, becomes cut by the process of hearing about Krishna. All this takes place by the process of thoroughly hearing. So one can go on doing that. Material affection. And this nishta, one becomes situated very strongly in devotional service and knows the science of God perfectly. So continuing, thus bhakti yoga severs the hard knot of material affection and enables one to come at once to the stage of asamshayam samagram, understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth, Personality of Godhead. Therefore, only by hearing from Krishna or by his devotee in Krishna consciousness can one understand the science of Krishna. So now let's look at the Upadeshamrita in verse number 5. And in this verse, Rupa Goswami gives his essence of all advice, which tells us in a little more detail about the progression of spiritual advancement that one will undergo by the hearing process. And this verse says, we can say together, Krishneti yasya giditam manasadriyeta dikshasti chet pranati pishcha bhajantamisham shushushaya bhajana vignam ananya manya nindari shunya hridam ipsita sangalabhya. And the translation is, one should mentally... Oh, that's not the verse I wanted. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of 7. Go to 7. But first, I offer all respects to that verse. And then this verse says... Oh, go to 8. Sorry, it said 8. Offer respects to that verse also. And text number 8, we can say together, Tanamarupa Chaditaru Sikirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasanama Nasiniyoja Tishtan Vraje Tananu Ragi Jananu Gami Kalam Nayet Akilamitupadesha Saram. Now we'll do the words for words because each one of them is very understandable, and we'll be able to get the context of the whole verse, and we'll become enlivened because it's within our reach. These are all things within our reach. So I'll say, please repeat, Tat of Lord Krishna, Nama, the holy name, Rupa, form, Charitaari, character, pastimes, and so on. Sukirtana, in discussing or chanting nicely. Now, from that first line, you get a sense that of various activities that we do regularly, right? So, tat nama, say something about the nama. Somebody, yes.
So you were mentioning about chanting in the workshop over the weekend.
Yes.
So we talked a lot about the Hari name, the holy name. And one of the things also was that when you chant, you should hear. And we had talked about the power of hearing the names of the Lord, and the power of hearing, actually, the power of sound, that stuff that you can't see with your senses, you can still understand them fully by the sound, so sound of the holy name.
Okay, so the holy name comes to us in sonic form. And we can associate. I think that we invoked a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Iti murtya bidanena mantra murtim amurtikam yajite yagyapurusha sasamyag darshino puman. And that is that one can have full darshan with the personality of Krishna through the sound vibration. And it's not difficult because murti has twofold meanings according to the Amarakosh dictionary. One is form and the other is difficulty. And when we say amurtikam, it means without difficulty one can have full darshan of Krishna, the full form of Krishna, through the sound representation, through chanting his name. Bali.
So Bhaktivinoda Thakur say, Naam bina kichu nahi to ar choda bhuvan majhe. That means without the holy name in the 14 worlds, you see, there is nothing else other than the holy name.
Not even in all the malls and everything, too. If you have the holy name, everything else in the whole world. And without the holy name, then the kevalanamashtakam, then the whole world appears to be void if I don't have the holy name. So the name, this is a very important part of our Siddhanta, that the holy name avails himself to the people of the world, and that anyone who takes up the regular chanting of God's names, of Krishna's names, will be directly in contact with Krishna. In fact, in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, this is mentioned, that the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are non-different. What is that verse? First chapter of the Bhagavatam. Yes.
1.1.14.
Okay. 1.1.14, we'll have a look at this for proof that Krishna and his name are non-different. This will prove once and for all, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Go ahead.
Apanna samsritim ghoram yannama vivisho granan tata sadyo vimucheta yad vibheti swayam bhayam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated masses of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified.
Okay, so that's proof that Krishna's name are non-different. So back to our Upadeshamrita, it says tanama and then rupa. What about the form of Krishna? Who can say how we come in contact with the form of Krishna, or you can say anything about the form of Krishna? Abhay.
By the deities, because Prabhupada said that the deities are there because we can't like always meditate on Krishna, we also need to worship a particular deity, so that's why he got the Radha Madan and everything.
Thank you, that's very helpful. Archa is the incarnation of the Lord called Archa. He appears to us in the form of what appears to be material elements, because my eyes may not be able to see spirit. What are the conditions, the Shastras say, under which one may see spirit directly? Yes. Give us a shloka from the Brahma Samhita. Okay, tell us what you were going to say first. I want to hear.
Krishna took his form as the Srimad Bhagavatam so he could hear or read and learn about his form and learn about him.
Okay, that's pretty nice. You can hear about his form in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Like, for instance, where in the Srimad Bhagavatam have you heard about the form of Krishna? Sir? What have you heard that the description of the form of Krishna that you can relate to us? Are there descriptions of Krishna in the Bhagavatam? What does he look like? What's one of his features?
Well, he's beautiful.
Say.
He's beautiful.
What's beautiful about him? Features.
Well, he has lotus-like petals. I mean, his eyes are like
lotus petals. Yeah, okay, so that's important. It's important information because oftentimes people say, well, God is beautiful, God is love. But then you say, well, what does he look like? And you can't say what he looks like. Nobody can see him. But the Bhagavatam doesn't say that. Bhagavatam says, Yine ravindaksha vamukta maninas tvayastabhavad avashuddha buddhaya. Aruya Krishna Paramparam Tata Patantyato Nadrita Yushmarangrayaha. That unless you can see the lotus eyes of Krishna, then you won't be able to give up the material world. You won't actually attain any kind of real liberation. And we have many stories in the Bhagavatam about devotees directly seeing Krishna, interacting with him. For instance, when Akura was going to Vrindavan, you know, he was thinking all about Krishna, and especially he was thinking of his hand, his lotus hand. He's meditating on how benedictory his hand is, and that he was thinking, Krishna will place his hand on me. Who else, what other devotee, had Krishna place his hand on his body in one place or another? Yes. Who?
Prahlad Maharaj.
Where, how'd that happen?
What so in his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev, he says, you know, even Lakshmi Devi, Brahma, Shiva, and all these great demigods haven't had the fortune of having you place your hand upon their heads, but you've placed it upon mine.
Yes. So Krishna actually, and here's another interesting or helpful bit of information. I see you're getting some coaching here. and that is, Prabhupada mentions in a lecture that Prahlad Maharaj, Lord Nrisimhadev placed his lotus hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head, correct? And he said, there's no difference between that and your chanting of Hare Krishna. You're in direct proximity to Krishna when that happens. Now let's hear what you got. Go ahead. Consult with...
Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigra Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karana.
And what about that verse? Are you entering into evidence here in the court?
Well, describe the Buddhist form.
Okay. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda. What does Vigraha mean?
Form.
That's good. Stick with Mukharvind. Okay, yes. What else? About Rupa. This is very interesting about Rupa. Yes, please go ahead.
Kunti Devi also describes Krishna and how different parts of his body represents a lotus flower.
Yeah, can you say the verse?
I'm not sure I remember exactly, but I think it starts with Nama Pankajanabhaya, Nama
Pankajanabhaya.
Malane, Nama Pankajanetraya, Nama Pankajangre.
Namaste, Pankajangre. Very good. Nice citation. Yes, the lotus is the most beautiful flower, and Krishna's features like lotuses. Suddenly you see the deity sometime, and you just be stunned by seeing the form of the deity. The deity is so beautiful. It's lotus feet. He's decorated so nicely. It's peaceful. One thing I really enjoy is various ISKCON centers around the world that I visit. I notice that people, usually people from India, but people from anywhere, they'll come and just sit in front of the deity and just stare. And Krishna doesn't mind. I had this experience when I was in Govardhan, 1 year for many weeks. We were just hearing and chanting there. And then when it came back to Krishna Balaram Mandir, I just wanted to sit in the temple and just look at Krishna Balaram, just sit there. And I felt satisfied. I was just happy just to be there. And the deities are so beautifully decorated and well attended. And this Rupa, this is very unique in the world because you can go to churches. I went to a mega church recently, and I went all over the mega church to find out some of their secrets. There was no imagery. There was no form of God. There were a lot of nice... thank you. See, I won something. There was only the image of a cross. That was it. But there, I didn't see any... direct, very beautiful images of the form of God. So this is a unique offering to the world that our culture is giving, that Srila Prabhupada put into play. Not only that, in the paintings, these are very rare and unique. because the Krishna book, for instance, do we have one here available? Can we have a Krishna book? We got thousands that we sold out. They're all gone. Okay. In the Krishna book, you'll find that there are one page after another of the of forms of Krishna that anyone can look at. And so this is Rupa, this forms. Yes. We'll need a, run a mic. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I had a, regarding the Rupa, there's a verse. I'm not sure about the origin, but I've heard it in this way. Kasturi tilakam lalata phalake vakshasthale kaustubham nasagre navamoktikam karatale venum kare kankanam sarvange harichandanam chakalayan kanthe cha muktavali gopastri pariveshtito vijayate gopal chudamani.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I guess itself it talks about the several visual features of the Lord. So it ends with that, ends with the phrase that he is surrounded by gopastris, by gopis, and he is always victorious. Vijayate Gopala Chudamani. He is the crest jewel of all gopas. So Kasturi Tilakam, he has Tilak of Kasturi, I think. Vakshasthale Kaustubham. And so in the Vaksha, in the chest, he has Kaustubham. And so on. So, I mean, a lot of small details.
Yes.
He has gems in his fingertips. Venu, he has Venu, the flute, and so on.
I like that you mentioned the small details, because the devotees fall in love with the small details. In fact, those who are neophytes may then advance to the position of taking second initiation and then come to the point of performing deity worship. And in that deity worship, one attends to the small details related to Krishna's rupa, his form. When you're performing deity worship, what are some of the small details? You can mention ultra small details that you attend to when you're worshiping the form of Krishna. I like the title of Krishna Kshetra Maharaj's book called Attending the Form of Krishna. So when you're attending the form of Krishna, what are some of the tiny details that you take care of? Those who are worshiping the deity, yes.
So I would like to share some things that I've observed more than, you know, what I personally would attend to. But being trained under Ramanand Sakya Prabhu has been a very, very enlivening experience, because when he's dressing the deities, he really treats them like a king and a queen. And he makes sure that the toe rings are in the perfect place and the tulsi is in the right place on Krishna's feet. And he's very attentive as to what will feel comfortable for the deity, not just what will look good on the deity. And I think that's a very deep realization for me, in that it's not just about how they it's also about how they feel, because we treat them as the Supreme Personality of God. They are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are very many details.
That's very helpful. Those are some beautiful details that reminded me of Rasagya, the one of Prabhupada's disciples, who she worshipped Radha Govinda in New York, and when on cold days, when she was dressing the small deities, she would take their clothes before she'd put them on them, and she'd warm them on the iron, and before she put them on the bodies of the deities. And actually that came up when she was leaving her body. One of the newer devotees had a dream that Krishna revealed to her that Rasagda had done that service, and then brought it up to her and said, I had a dream. Said, oh yeah, I used to do that. So there are unlimited ways in which one, and there are more. Somebody else had their hand up. Yes, Advait, and then back to Shomalungi. Attending the form of Krishna, the Rupa, yes.
So, I think a week or two ago, earlier when I came to the temple, I just looked at the deities and went. And I never really observed anything about them. But I think a week ago, I was organizing Krishna's jewelry, and I noticed how they have so much jewelry, we just never noticed them. And now I just start noticing everything, like.
Yeah, now you're starting, so because you did the seva, right? Now you notice the jewelry on the deities, right? It becomes a very personal part of it, right?
Something I've never noticed before.
Very nice, very nice. Naveena, and then Shyamalangi. And then
Hare Krishna. It's a very special privilege to be close to the deity. And just like when before a pujari goes in to worship the Lord, he performs different types of purificatory rituals and has to wear clean cloth and have the right mindset. In the same way, we know that the kitchen is an extension of the altar. But then also the temple room, the Lord is everywhere. He's omnipresent, and we're always like acting for his pleasure. So I was just thinking that before you enter the altar, you do these different types of purificatory processes. But a devotee is seeing that their worshipful Lord is everywhere, and everything that I'm doing to please him. So it really expands our view, our vision of what is the Lord and where is the Lord, and how can I be in contact with the Lord.
Really nice observation. The expanded vision, seeing him within everything, and how his body expands as the temple. This is Shastric, that this is the Sambit Shakti, that the Balaram expands as the temple and as the altar, the Lord's shoes, his Brahman's thread, and all the infrastructure that is there to worship Krishna is actually the manifestation of Balaram. So this is reality. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, just in continuation with what Priya Kishori said, it's nice and observing and appreciating our senior pujaris like Ramananda Sakha Prabhu, and also Hansapriya Mataji. Like, you know, in summer she'll dress Krishna with shorter dhotis. When it is cold, she'll get sweater. She'll arrange, and she's so while offering them the bhoga, she's very careful that, you know, the bowl should be like full, like not even a little space there. She says, he's very hungry. He plays, don't you know? He goes out to play. Krishna goes out to play. He's hungry. So she's like, it's so nice to observe and, you know, appreciate those things. And even Bhaktivatsal Prabhu, how meticulously he'll arrange their jewelry. Like, even if he's not doing the seva himself, but we are going to the altar, but everything is arranged very nicely in plates, like very, so it's really nice observing all that.
So this is all attending the Rupa, the form, which reminded me, I was visiting the home of one godbrother who does elaborate deity worship every day, and making the plates. In the morning, he had these nice silver plates. He put the offerings on. I was helping him. He say, okay, you know, fill that up. And I was starting to put sabji in, and I got it about three quarters of the way full, and he looked at me and said, what are you doing? He said, don't shortchange the Lord. Fill it up. And I took that. Don't shortchange the Lord. Shraddha, you had a point.
Thank you, Maharaj. Actually, I had 2 points, and one of them had to do with Hansapriya Mataji, which Shyamalangi Mataji covered so very well. The second point was when we had just moved into this temple, into this particular temple, it was very hot one day. And so we had arranged to put the fans on the altar so that the lordships wouldn't feel bad. And then after some time, Nirakshla Mataji was talking to me and she said, I'm looking on the internet for fans that don't make a noise because that'll, you know, annoy the fans over there, might be annoying them. How will they sleep in the afternoon? So that's, you know, at a very subtle level looking at things. Yeah.
Yeah. And in this way, as devotees dedicate their life to pleasing Krishna's senses, then they become satisfied. And Rupa Goswami, Prahlad Maharaj mentions this in his prayers, seventh canto, ninth chapter, that naivatmana praburayam nijalabha purno manam jana visham yad yaj jano bhagavate viridita nama tachchatmane pratimukhasya ta mukashri. Says this, when you satisfy the senses of the Lord, then you feel satisfied. And he gives the example that just like when you decorate your face and you look in the mirror, the reflection is also decorated. So we're like reflections of Krishna, or his expansions. So when you satisfy Krishna, then you feel satisfied. On the other hand, if you try to satisfy yourself, like there's never any end to it. It's always there's always something more. For instance, if you try to dress yourself very opulently all the time, then you could never quite keep up. It's always frustrating. Oh, that doesn't look right. This doesn't look right. And but if you put that same propensity towards dressing Krishna and making him look nice, then you'll feel full satisfaction. Okay, last 2 points. 1, 2.
When Mukundata Prabhu was in our house, he used for Gopal. A hand would be like this, and then he would rest it on a cushion. So he said that he rests Gopal's hand on the cushion because he carries the whole entire world, the universe. And so so Gopal doesn't feel tired. He rests his hand on the cushion.
Very nice. There's precedent for that. When Krishna was lifting Govardhan Hill, then Yashoda's there saying, you must be hungry, you must be tired. You know, there was coward boys were also holding sticks up to help him hold the hill. Because, you know, I don't think you can handle this. Yes, Abhay?
I have 2 points.
Okay.
So what about in book distribution, we always explain that the Bhagavatam is the full form of Krishna. So like the first 2 cantos are his feet, and then it goes all the way up to his head.
Yes.
And because that's how his form. And the second point was when Indraduna Maharaj went to, I think, Narottam Das Thakur's temple in where the deities he worshipped in India, there was a temple. And as soon as he saw that, he didn't even know what temple was. He just walked in. And when he saw the deities, he fainted.
He fainted upon seeing the deities.
Well, technically he got really dizzy and fell down.
Okay, we'll check with our judges to see if that counts. Okay. So we have Tat Nama of Lord Krishna. So this is all about Krishna. And he has a name, Nama. He has Rupa, a form. And Charita Adi, character, pastimes, and so on. So there's a lot there. And Sukirtana, in discussing and chanting nicely. Anusmrityoho, and in remembering. Kramena, this is very important, means gradually. Rasana, the tongue. Manasi, one's mind. Niyoja, engaging. Tishtan, residing. Now we're getting even more esoteric. Vraje, in Vraj. Tat, to Lord Krishna, anuragi, attached, jana, persons, anugami, following, kalam, time, not yet, should utilize, akilam, full, iti, thus, upadesha, of advice or instruction, saram. Here's the essence. And here's the translation. The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraj, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Now, here's the purport, and we'll find here similar advice that we found in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam that was quoted in the Gita. Since the mind may be one's enemy or one's friend, one has to train the mind to become his friend. The Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for training the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. The mind contains hundreds and thousands of impressions, not only of this life, but also of many, many lives of the past. These impressions sometimes come in contact with one another and produce contradictory pictures. In this way, the mind's function can become dangerous for a conditioned soul. Students of psychology are aware of the mind's various psychological changes. In the Bhagavad Gita 8.6, it is said together, Yang yang vapi smaran bhavam tajatyante kalevaram tam tam evaite konteya sadatad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. At the time of death, the mind and intelligence of a living entity create the subtle form of a certain type of body for the next life. If the mind suddenly thinks of something not very congenial, one has to take a corresponding birth in the next life. On the other hand, if one can think of Krishna at the time of death, he can be transferred to the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. This process of transmigration is very subtle. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami advises devotees to train their minds in order that they will be unable to remember anything other than Krishna. Similarly, the tongue should be trained to speak only of Krishna and to taste only Krishna prasad. Srila Rupa Goswami further advises Tishtan Vraje, one should live in Vrindavan or any part of Vrajabhumi. Vrajabhumi or the land of Vrindavan is supposed to be 84 kroshas in area. One krosha equals 2 square miles. When one makes Vrindavan his residence, he should take shelter of an advanced devotee there. In this way, one should always think of Krishna in his pastimes. This is further elucidated by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu together. Krishnam smaram janam chasya preshtam nija samahitam tat tat kataratash chasau kuryad vasam vraje sada. A devotee should always reside in the transcendental realm of Vraj and always engage in Krishnam smaram janam chasya preshtam, the remembrance of Sri Krishna and his beloved associates. By following the footsteps of such associates and by entering under their eternal guidance, one can acquire an intense desire to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, Srila Rupa Goswami states in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, together, Seva Sarka Rupena Siddha Rupena Chatrahi Tat Bhava Lipsuna Karya Vraja Lokanu Smarataha. In the transcendental realm of Vraj, Vrajadham, one should serve the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna with a feeling similar to that of his associates, and one should place himself under the direct guidance of a particular associate of Krishna and should follow in his footsteps. This method is applicable both in the stage of sadhana, spiritual practices executed well in the stage of bondage, and in the stage of sadhya, God realization. When one is a siddha purusha, or a perfectly perfect soul. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented as follows upon this verse. Are you all ready?
Yes.
But not very?
Yes.
Okay. One who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulative principles, namely chanting and remembering Krishna and his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and so forth. That was a long sentence. There's a lot in there. Let's extract a little bit for our own personal use. What do you say? What was in there? Okay, yes. Go ahead, Madhava Govinda.
We have to train our mind. That's one of the main things it says, by practicing devotional service.
Train our mind by following the progressive regulative principles. That's very interesting that they're progressive, isn't it? Yes, Dhiraj, thank you. That's very important about training.
This all is mentioned not for those who are already deep into Krishna consciousness, but for one who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness.
Yes, very good. Important point. Over here. 1, 2.
It also says that one should remember Krishna, his name, form, quality, pastimes, and so forth.
Yes. Very good.
We should practice self-control, like to control our mind.
Okay. So this sentence, very good, yes. Rinda?
One who has not yet developed interest should give up all material motives.
Yes. Should give up. How? Why did you notice that part? What about it struck your... cut your
just,
diligence.
The part about material motives.
Giving up material motives. Interesting. Very good catch. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's comment as follows on this verse. One who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulative principles. Namely, chanting and remember his holy name, form, quality, pastimes, and so forth. In this way, after developing a taste for such things, one should try to live in Vrindavan and pass his time constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, and qualities under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. This is the sum and substance of all instruction regarding the cultivation of devotional service. That's very definitive, isn't it? Now, here we go. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. What should one do in the neophyte stage? Always. Is that possible?
Yes.
Tell us how. You say something. You're listening to a lot of Krishna Katha. Yeah. Right there. Go ahead. You're a busy person, you're a professional, doing so many things, but how is it that you're hearing so much Krishna Katha?
The back, like, you have priorities in different things. So the priority of your life is to be surrounded around Krishna Katha. Maybe you're doing something, but in the mind, your goal is like, how I can engage myself hearing Krishna's Katha. Then Krishna will make the way to, you know, to give you time.
Okay, that's general. Everything. Now give us practical. Tell us some secrets.
Make some schedule every day to hear in a particular time, like in the morning after chanting, or in the office time during the break, or while you are driving. Make a regular habit of hearing Krishna Katha.
Very nice. Very nice. Okay, yes, practical stuff.
I remember hearing in your lecture how you said once that suppose if your laundry is downstairs and you had to come from upstairs to downstairs, and if you don't hear, you might lose the big thing. So in that lecture you gave an example of how people don't win the running race by like 10 minutes or 5 minutes. They just win by fraction of a millisecond. So that really caught me, like how you wanted us to hear at every moment, like every second. And I always see you, before you start the engine, you put the earbuds on your ears and show us practically how we can use all the modern inventions of iPods and so many things, like load up. You once even offered that, you give me your iPod and I load all the Prabhupada's lectures and give you. So we should use all that, and that's how we can use every moment we have. And the main phrase that you use that has always been a guidance in my life is fill the gap.
Fill the gap. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Very good. Avanti has got something.
I feel like in everything you do, there should always be kirtan or something in the background. So when my dad went to Vrindavan, he got like this yellow box. And if you turn it on, it always has that Hare Krishna Mahamantra playing and like or Prabhupada chanting. So,
is that going on in your house now?
Yeah. Very nice. My dad keeps it in his room.
I've been there. When I visit, when I'm traveling, I generally stay in devotee homes. And I notice that it creates that environment. And also, when we stay with Rupanuga Prabhu and Premanjana, when you know Avani, you know, he has two daughters, Avani and Nikki. So Avani is very avid kirtaniya. She always listening to kirtan, 24 hours a day. You go by her room at night and you can hear there's kirtan going in the morning, afternoon, night. And I mentioned this before, she's been very successful and just kind of breezes through all her studies and does well at everything. And I asked her father, well, she's very successful. And he said, it's the kirtan. She never stops listening to kirtan. And also, the mind may say, oh, you know, what's the use? It's only 20 seconds or whatever. But it's amazing. You can hear one thing in 20 seconds that will actually change your life. And if you, it's just like, also I remember in school studying for exams. If I studied to the last minute until the teacher said, put the pencil, you know, put your books away, you know, that last 2 seconds, I know if I took it for granted and I say, I got this, I'd always do, worse. But if I, after the last second, you know, until they say, put the books away, pick up your number two pencil and start writing. You want to be that close up to the hearing and chanting all the time, too. Yes, yes, from the internet.
This is Hansapriya Mataji.
Oh, Hansapriya, we've been talking about you.
Thanks to YouTube, you can enjoy soft, non-stop kirtan even at work. And as soon as you open the laptop, it automatically turns on.
Really? I got to learn that trick.
Kirtan is what makes things go on.
Kirtan is what makes things go on. Very nice. Okay. So let's read a little bit more. In the neophyte stage, one should always engage in hearing Krishna Katha. This is called Shravana Dasha. What's it called?
Shravana.
The stage of hearing. By constantly hearing the transcendental holy name of Krishna and hearing of his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, one can attain the stage of acceptance called Varna Dasha. What's it called?
Varna Dasha.
When one attains this stage, he becomes attached to the hearing of Krishna Katha. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, he attains the stage of Smaranavastha, the stage of remembering. What's it called? The stage of remembering. Recollection, absorption, meditation, constant remembrance, and trance are the five items of progressive Krishna Smaranam. So again, that word progressive is very important. Krame krame, anukrama means one thing follows the next. If you continue hearing, if you apply yourself to this one thing, then all other things will happen. Just as in the first verse of the seventh chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Tat Srinu. You'll come to know Maya Saktam Maya Mana Partha, with your mind attached to me, Yogam Yunjan Marasraya, Asamshayam Samagramam Yata Gyasasi Tat Srinu. If you just apply yourself to this principle of always hearing, then all the other stages and everything else needed will manifest. In another place, Prabhupada describes how everything in the material world gets done by the process of hearing. As Navina Nirna Prabhu likes to say, the world moves by mantra. Say the right mantra and people go, oh, okay. And it's like, how'd you do that? Just gave them the right mantra. And so similarly, for instance, Prabhupada says, when you build a skyscraper building, then you have to start the mantra. You say, well, we're going to have a building. And what's it going to look like? And you start describing it. And next thing you know, you're drawing on a chalkboard. And the next thing you know, you take the information off the chalkboard and you start categorizing it. And then you think, then you make other mantras. How are we going to get the paraphernalia for this? Where are the resources going to come from? You talk about it. The mantras are coming out. And the paraphernalia starts appearing here, there, and everywhere. So in the same way in the material world that this takes place, in fact, the whole creation takes place by mantra, doesn't it? Brahma's throwing mantras this way and that, and boom. In a similar way, Prabhupada says, all the spiritual paraphernalia that you need will appear in your life by the process of hearing, if you apply yourself properly to the system of hearing. Correct? Correct. Okay, so there are various stages, and it's progressive. It's progressive. At first, remembrance of Krishna may be interrupted at intervals. Relatable? But later, remembrance proceeds uninterrupted. When remembrance is uninterrupted, it becomes concentrated and is called meditation. When meditation expands and becomes constant, it is called anusmriti. By uninterrupted and unceasing anusmriti, one enters the stage of samadhi, or spiritual trance. After smarana dasha, or samadhi, has fully developed, the soul comes to understand his original constitutional position. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. This is called sampati dasha, the perfection of life. Chaitanya Charitamrita advises those who are neophytes to give up all kinds of motivated desires and simply engage in the regulative devotional service of the Lord according to the directions of Scripture. In this way, a neophyte can gradually develop attachment for Krishna's name, fame, form, qualities, and so forth. When one has developed such attachment, he can spontaneously serve the lotus feet of Krishna even without following the regulative principles. This stage is called Raga Bhakti, or devotional service in spontaneous love. At that stage, and it doesn't mean without following the four regulative principles, it just means that there are many scriptural ways in which we regulate our lives around the Panchatrikhi system. And when one's devotional service becomes spontaneous, one's thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day, he or she may not follow those so rigidly. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out that those who are on the spontaneous platform of Raga Bhakti actually do externally follow the rules and regulations very carefully. Neophytes sometimes take this idea of spontaneous devotional service and prematurely apply it in their own lives. I saw one devotee doing Mangalarti 2 hours late, and I said, "What's going on?" And he said, "It's spontaneous. I'm not following the rules," but that's not what it means here. At least it wasn't the case for him. This stage is called Raga Bhakti, or devotional service in spontaneous love. At that stage, the devotee can follow in the footsteps of one of the eternal associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. This is called Raga Nuga Bhakti. Raga Nuga Bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service, can be executed in the Shantaras, when one aspires to be like Krishna's cows, or the stick or flute in the hand of Krishna, or the flowers around Krishna's neck. In the Dasya Ras, one follows in the footsteps of servants like Chitrak, Patrak, or Raktak. In the friendly Sakya Ras, one can become a friend like Baladev, Sridhama, Sudama. In the Vatsalya Ras, characterized by parental affection, one can become like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. And in Madhurya Ras, characterized by conjugal love, one can become like Srimati Radharani or her lady friends such as Lalita and her serving maids Manjaris, like Rupa and Ruti. This is the essence of all instructions in the matter of devotional service. We start on a very practical level, and if one stays in that practical level, that is practicing hearing, chanting, remembering, attending the form of the Lord, all the ways in which we've been guided by our previous acharyas coming down through His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, then step by step, one will come to the perfectional stage of devotional service. So we started off, somebody traced back the route that we took today. how we started and what is the circuitous route that we took to get where we are right now. Map us back. Where did we start? 7.14, which is, tell us, what's that verse about, 7.14? It's about Maya? What about Maya? Huh? Okay, somebody give us a detailed response, please. These are sutra-like responses.
It's about the Maya and how Krishna is the controller and the supreme magician.
Okay. What else about the verse? What activity is maybe needed on our part? Yes? Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
So I also remember that Maya is illusory, but even if Maya is illusory, its background is the supreme magician.
Yes. Okay. Very good. Yes?
The Maya, it's very strong. It's very hard to overcome. But by surrendering to Krishna, everything becomes easy.
Very good. You caught the essence. Surrender to Krishna. Vrinda.
Freedom is only possible by understanding Krishna.
Yes. Very good.
We started with 7.14 saying that...
somebody took notes. Just see. This is good. Okay, go ahead.
We are tightly bound by the ropes of illusion. So the only way is to surrender unto lotus feet of Krishna. So we came to a conclusion that freedom is possible only by surrendering and by we can overcome material nature by hearing. And then we went to 7.1, referring to how one who hears about the activities of Krishna, Janma Karma Chame Divyam, he can overcome. And then we talked about how can we know Krishna in full. So at that time we discussed Maya Veshya Manoyemam, 7.1. And then that verse we heard about hearing. So how do we hear more? So we discussed more about hearing in 7.1. And then we went to the verse where in Bhagavatam it is said about Hridaya Granthi, how by hearing about Krishna, all the hard knots that are in the heart are going away. And then we went to Nectar of Instruction 8, which talks about how by hearing about Krishna, we make gradual progress, kramena. And then we also talked about the pastimes of various names and forms, and so many pastimes we discussed. And then, you know, here discussing the same verse.
You're the official scribe, like Ganesh. Okay, so, yes, please.
So Maharaj, about listening and the powers of listening, I've just remembered the verse from Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, verse number 26. And the translation for that is, again, there are those who, although not conversant in the spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of the tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the path of birth and death.
Can you quote the Sanskrit on that? What verse number is it? 13.26,
yeah.
We could say together. Anye tvevam ajanataha shutvane pya upasate te pi chatitarantyeva mrityum shruti parayanaha. Translation, together. Again, there are those who, although not conversant in spiritual knowledge, begin to worship the Supreme Person upon hearing about Him from others. Because of their tendency to hear from authorities, they also transcend the birth. I'm glad you brought that out, because there's a way in which, as practitioners, we hear again and again about how the process of hearing is very effective. But then also, when we bring that hearing process out into public, other people can hear the kirtan, for instance, or they can meet devotees and hear about Krishna, and then they can receive a book and go home and they can read it and hear about Krishna there. Those who are sincere and open, they begin to also advance on the process of Krishna consciousness. And in this way, actually, there's a finite area called Silicon Valley that we can focus our minds on. It's actually possible with a concentrated effort over the next decade to make affect a surge of Krishna consciousness within the population, the limited population. The gain went up on this. Could you turn it down, please, a little bit? Of Silicon Valley. And that can be done by the process of the distribution of the holy names, the transcendental literature, which are the holy names written down and then given to people hand to hand, house to house, and so forth, kirtan in various places, will make a marked difference. And the people will also come up in their realization. They'll also get this punya shravana, the special spiritual wealth just from hearing and so forth. So this is a good occupation, spending one's time full time in hearing and chanting about Krishna, and then also going out and giving everybody else the opportunity to hear about Krishna as much as possible. And prasadam. Because just by giving prasadam, people will become liberated and go back to Godhead even without their knowledge, Prabhupada says in the Antya Lila. Thank you, everybody, for coming out on a Wednesday night. It's a good idea. And everyone who joined us online, please turn to the camera and say, Hare Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
We love you. Thanks for joining us. And keep the hearing and chanting going and distribute it as widely as possible. The faster we're able to get out to all the people in Silicon Valley, the faster we can bring a renaissance to this area. And we'd like to do that to set an example for the rest of the world, not the rest of the ISKCON world, the rest of the whole world, to bring this place to a level of Krishna consciousness involving all the important people of Silicon Valley. So please give concerted effort to everyone you meet, everywhere you go, everywhere you see. Take it as an opportunity to give Krishna consciousness to others. We need to do this rather quickly because I'm afraid things may be spinning out of control all over the world. But have no fear, Krishna's in charge.
Marman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, hey, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman.